Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We have an interesting short for you today. MVP voting is due on Wednesday. I have a couple of shorts. This one from a very interesting kind of a political analysis viewpoint that I think was really a good project to do. We have our friend Paul, otherwise known as at the NFL Analyst on Twitter, X. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. How you doing?
Great to have you on, Paul. Appreciate all the work you did on this. Obviously, this is a not insignificant effort, but we're used to some political analysis from recent elections. What you did is really look at the individual voters and go back at things, for instance, they've said on Twitter or
I dug into Twitter, any articles, Google, just whatever I could find. And with a lot of them, I couldn't find much because they don't have much of an internet presence. But with a lot of them, I could. And there were some of them that literally blatantly just came right out and said it already, who they're voting for. So I kind of tried to categorize, each of those, people, if they were a lock one way or the other, if they were undecided, typically like that, and try to figure out maybe a different couple groups of profiles, so to speak, of the voters and see which way they might lean.
Like election analysis, so young white same males.
Same way.
Yeah, great. Yeah. All right. Well, terrific. So let's start with the number of total voters. I always thought there were 50, and it looks like there might be 54 now.
Yeah. What happened was I came across a list, and it was from 2 years ago. Because what they do is they believe they rotate out maybe 5 or 10 voters every 2 years. So I saw a list initially from 2020 or from 2 years ago. And then I came across one from last year. So in the interest of the bigger sample size might work a little better, I combined the two lists and eliminated the overlaps and came up with 54, versus the 50 that are going to vote. So there's a few in there here or there that might be voting, might not. But again, I thought, why not just look at as much as we can to try to figure it out.
Okay, fair enough. So it sounds like almost they may work on a term limit. They may be there for one term and then can come off. They rotate off a certain number.
Yeah, I think what it is, a lot, if you'll notice, a lot of the older group is kind of the core group that really, I would suspect, doesn't really change much over the years. But a lot of the younger group, I feel like they try to filter and rotate in, as they go along every couple of years.
I saw a large group of what I would call younger voters, people like Sam Monson, who have a vote now, and others who are, not the typical age of Hall of Fame voters, let's say, who usually have, as Bill James put it, already driven a couple hundred miles with their left blinker on.
So. Right. Yeah. When I was looking at the overall list, I was like, wow, this kind of is working out to two groups here. The kind of the younger, more analytic type driven pop probably, and the older, more traditional, been around the game for 30, 40 years doing who knows what and this and that. And it really kind of broke down into those two categories, kind of the over 55 group and the under 55 group, so to speak.
Okay, so you've got the age of the voter being one of your main groups that you look at. Why is that important, and how do you expect age of the voter to lean in terms of the election?
I feel like the older the voter, the more they're going to lean one way. Again, more towards the traditional 6'5", 240-pound, guy that stands in the pocket. less so towards maybe a more of a new age player like Lamar Jackson. When they look at things, they're not on the internet a lot. They're not really analytics based. Matter of fact, they probably show disdain for analytics. And they're more the traditional types of voter.
Okay, now that begs a question, because Lamar has won an MVP 5 years award that was unanimous and an MVP award last year, which was 49 out of 50. How was he able to win an award if such voters exist in significant quantities within the group?
Glad you brought that up, Ken, because I wanted to touch on that. I feel like these things matter when it's close. Okay. I'm not going to claim that when it's a dominant or a fairly one-sided situation like Lamar, because like you said, 49 votes last year, 50 votes before. When it's not close, I don't think this really matters that much. But when it is close like this and hotly contested, I think it does matter. And I have a few examples later on that I can kind of pick out and show you that it kind of does matter in some situations.
Okay. Aside from age, what's another kind of a defining factor which you think drives voting?
Outside of age, I just broke it down by kind of region, Northeast and New York market, South, Midwest, and West, pretty much. So I had an older group of those subgroups and a younger group of those subgroups as well. And just kind of looked at how many were in each group, what area are they from, what relationships might they have, where have they worked, who their former employers are, who their current ones are, just to try to see if we can find an edge or a lean in any way.
Now, you list past and current relationships as a huge factor. Do you mean like playing relationships, like an Orlovsky might have actually played with somebody on this list or coached them maybe? Or are you talking about something where they've had them on their show or what kind of relationship are we talking about here?
All of the above, pretty much. What kind of started this all for me was Dan Orlovsky, because obviously he was campaigning very hard for Josh Allen, has been for the whole time. And it just made me wonder, like, is there any reason for this or because it was kind of obvious and blatant. And of course, it comes out a week later that he has a weekly radio spot with the Bills. And, you know, he kind of has a relationship with them currently. So, again, if it's close, is Dan Orlovsky going to walk back into that setting in future employment and say, I voted for Lamar? There's just no way. He's going to lean for his guy. Same thing with Vic Carucci. Vic Carucci is basically the Jerry Sandusky of Buffalo. Okay, he is in the Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. He is Buffalo through and through. He works for the broadcast. He does the pregame. He does the postgame. Now, is this a guy, if it's close, that's going to go Lamar? He's going to go Allen, in my opinion. Another guy, Dave Craig, which is kind of an interesting Baltimore connection. Dave Craig currently works for the Vikings in Minnesota, but his previous job was in Cleveland. Go ahead.
The ex-QB? The ex-QB, Dave Craig? Or is this a different guy?
No, this is a different Dave Craig.
You have it as Mark Craig here, and I was wondering if we're talking about the same guy.
I'm sorry, Mark Craig. But his previous employment before he got to Minnesota was covering the Cleveland Browns for 13 or 14 years. And the reason why he lost his job was because the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore, and he had to be shipped out to Minnesota to work there instead. So again, I feel like that's another one. And then one more we can touch on real quick is this Barry Wilner guy. Mm-hmm. He's AP New York guy. Haven't really heard of him much. I don't know if you have or not, but he's been New York through and through his whole life. And he was one of the only guys who I researched who came right out and said he was voting for Saquon Barkley. So I thought, why is that? So Saquon Barkley was there during his time at covering the Giants as a Giants beat reporter for a long time. He covered them for a decade. So it would make sense that he has a lean towards Barkley and is showing it because he is literally the only guy I found, that's going for Barkley. And to further the point, if you Google the New York Giants book, he wrote the book on the New York Giants.
Okay.
So he is deeply tied in to that area. And again, if it's close, I feel like these things matter.
Okay, possible. I guess I could see that. Now, CBS Sports has had some folks certainly on their network that have come out and said they think Allen is the guy. But what's the Pete Prisco? I think is there, and I've heard him talk about openly about voting for Allen.
Yeah, we've got Boomer Esiason, Charles Davis, Rich Gannon, Pat Kerwin, Clark Judge, Adam Schein, and Jonathan Jones. All work for CBS. Now, this might be a theory that you might disagree with, but I feel like when you're talking about the levels, the corporate levels that CBS and the NFL are partnered with, that they're probably looking at this from a business perspective. And what is going to be good for CBS in a business perspective? Is it going to be having just two guys in the AFC because they show obviously all the AFC games? They cover these guys. Or would they rather have more MVPs to market, to sell, to promote? And that might be a little reach, but I feel like CBS has been so blatant about it on their main Twitter account that I just started thinking, like, why? And everybody's thinking, why? And that's one theory I came up with, that it's probably a little better for business to where the more MVPs they have playing in different games on a Sunday, you know, they can market them, they can sell them. And especially if they have two of them going against each other, you know, it might be a small factor, but it could matter.
That one sounds like a reach to me. I do. Pete Prisco, by the way, is in this group, and he has pretty much announced that he's voting for Josh Allen on air. In terms of that. So, but he works on one of the CBS shows. I'm not sure which. I just looked it up, and he's definitely employed by CBS. It's not like we haven't seen some of this. They may just all agree, and that's why you're seeing it on Twitter that they're acting like this. I have a hard time really buying into the notion that they want Allen to win it because it's one new MVP. But that's okay. Around election time, we heard some truly much worse theories of why people were voting for different groups. So there's always going to be a few out there, and I appreciate you bringing your thoughts to the table. And everybody's talked about voter fatigue a fair amount. Where does that sit in the range of importance to you?
I honestly think after going through all these voters or prospective voters, that I think it's less of a factor than people think. And I feel like it is a factor, but I don't believe it's the number one factor that everybody has made it out to be. That's just my personal opinion. I think these other factors are more important, to be quite honest with you, versus the voter fatigue. I do think it's a factor, but I don't think it's as big as people think.
I mean, voter fatigue can take a couple of different manifest itself in a couple of different ways. Number one is they just don't want to vote for Allen, so they vote for somebody else. I don't want to vote for Lamar because they vote for somebody else. Number two is that they actively look for reasons not to vote for Lamar, which is not necessarily voter fatigue. It's probing it at it in maybe a biased angle. So they've already decided, you know, well, Lamar's won two very decided, one-sided MVP awards. Is it time for somebody else to win? And let's at least examine all the reasons why Allen should win it. I feel like the amount of effort that's been spent by Bills Mafia and the probably the media as well, trying to figure ways that are largely fall into flowing on one foot while on a Tuesday kind of specificity to them, are avoiding the, you know, looking at individual trees rather than the forest, like passer rating, and just saying, you know, well, look, there's a lot of different factors. A lot of Lamar are better at. There are some that Allen are better at. But if you look at passing overall, there's no question about who's the better passer, for example.
It's not even close. Yeah. I mean, we just start with passing. Lamar Jackson has 50% more touchdown passes than Josh Allen. I mean, it's not close. In essentially the same amount of attempts. Bills Mafia has even gone to the point of now trying to use snap counts as some measure of anything. And again, it goes back to the why. Why is all this coming seemingly in one direction? Kind of back to my CBS.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports thing. And I'm just trying to figure out why. You know, why is this that? Because it's clearly happening. Like anybody who's been on social media and been paying attention, it's very clear which way the narrative and spin is going. And, right. and I'm just, like I said, I was just trying to see, can I figure out why this is happening?
Now, there are a few people who've been really looking at the direction of the voting in a different way. Mike Sando is one. We're going to have him on a pod that'll be airing, I think, the same day as you, by the way. So it's either right before or right after. Look for the Mike Sando pod. Others like me, for example, in terms of looking at rushing success rate, have brought up new statistics. I just feel like the total number of specific subsets of things are huge for Allen. And I see, the thing I think is missing most is the so-called Lamar effect. Now, Aaron Schatz tells me that Allen also has a Lamar effect. I don't really believe that's true. I think Lamar's been proven. His effect on the running game, for example, is like no other quarterback in the history of the game. And it shows up year after year. And there's no such running back for Allen whose success rate has jumped off the charts playing with him relative to the quarterbacks they've played with before. So I think we're looking for more new ways to find that Allen can win it than we are looking for reasons that we've already missed in previous Lamar voting.
I totally agree. I mean, on the younger tip, guy like Sando's a good example. Him, Mina Kimes, mm-hmm. Doug Farrar. These are more analytics driven, in the mix type people, where versus an older voter who maybe is in their, you know, later years, mm-hmm. they're not as plugged in with all the stuff you just mentioned. They wouldn't, if you asked half of these guys what DVOA was, they'd look at you like you had three heads. You know, they're just, that's just not their space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you actually looked at those things you just mentioned, again, it's very clear who rules in literally almost every category you can come up with, except if you can find a random EPA from some site somewhere. I mean, outside of that, I mean, it's not close. But again, that older block of voters, I don't even think they're paying attention to any of that.
See, this is interesting. EPA is one. I'll take EPA and rushing success rate as two different things. Rushing success rate, people ask me once a day, what's rushing success rate? And I can explain it. It's fairly easy. 40% of the yards on first down, 60% of the yards on second down, and 100% of the yards on third or fourth down. And it's that simple. The definition is that's as far as it goes. With EPA, the problem is in the adjustments, that there's tons of adjustments made for various versions of EPA. Well, this is the EPA that's adjusted for drops and for you know, wind and weather. And well, how did you adjust it? I don't know. It's not my number. I heard it quoted over on this site. Where'd it come from?
Yes. Scott Kazmir, Captain Comeback on Twitter, has done a fantastic job of just shooting every single one of these arguments that Bills fans have, just down with just data. You know what I mean? Just raw data that shows, no, this isn't how it is. It's this way. Right. And yet still, you know what I mean? You have people who just, they're just not plugged in like that. You know what I mean? To even have that come across, you know, their purview. So it's really, and another thing, maybe you can expand on this about, is the EPA when it comes to those 1 yard rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
How much does that matter and factor in? Because that is a huge, huge deal that I think is seriously swaying with this whole total touchdowns thing in this race.
And it just makes total touchdowns close in a truth. Right. But the notion that those one-yard runs are really as valuable. And I think Allen, last I checked, had something like 6 one-yard runs for touchdowns. And that specifically, those have an enormous variance of EPA. EPA doesn't handle it well. And if for people really understand that, they say, okay, well, that, if he did those on fourth down by tush push, they have a high probability of success and he's getting a huge payoff for hitting them. It's that EPA is overvaluing that stat if they're giving him 3.45 EPA for such a play, and assuming that it's a 7 or a 0, and basically he's going to make it half the time, and that it'd probably be something very close to that actually, and that's why they give him this ridiculous incremental amount of EPA for that. Now he doesn't get most of them on fourth down, but he gets some on third, he gets some on second, whatever it is. And it also, if you have a 10-yard, as you're getting the last 10 yards to score a touchdown, the last single yard is overvalued. And that's true in poker and whatnot. They always say your last chip is your most valuable because it keeps you in the tournament, keeps you alive for another place. But it's really, I'm not buying it in the same way as it goes to football. If you have a 5-yard run, a 4-yard run, and then a 1-yard run that score you on first and goal from the 10, I have a hard time buying why the 1-yard run that ends that should be worth 10 times as much, for example.
Exactly. And I ran the numbers the other night, and he has 64 career rushing touchdowns. 22 of them are from the 1-yard line, and 30 are from 3 yards and in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a massive number, and it skews things a lot. But if you don't get into the weeds, You're just seeing the surface level numbers. You're not seeing, what's behind it and how it factors in. And the Bills Mafia have done a great job in pushing that narrative and going from there.
It is an unbelievably marketed narrative, and it's clearly been a very concerted effort every moment of the season. And part of the thing that's been interesting about this is seeing them early in the season basically saying, look, interceptions are what matter. Allen had 18 last year. Maybe he didn't deserve the award. This year, look at Mahomes, because he was the main competition. He's got 6 already, and Allen has 0. And now that Allen is way behind Jackson, it's not about interceptions. It's about, it's about this. And it's exactly the first thing that the Bills Mafia will accuse you of, is basically saying that, which is it? Is it quality of wins last year? Because Lamar had 10 wins. But this year, the Bills have beaten the number one seed in each conference. And part of it, I say, is so what? The Ravens are 9-3 against winning teams this year, and they're 3-3.
So, right. And again, the guy that isn't really deep in the mix sees right. that he's beaten the top two seeds, but doesn't realize that the Ravens are 7-3 against the playoff teams. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They don't get that part. They just see the headline and what's being blasted out there. Oh, Josh Allen's beat the two best teams, so he's had the hardest strength of schedule. The reality is the Ravens, I believe, have the second highest strength of schedule, and Buffalo's like 25th. So it's not even close. But, this is – when you don't have the data to back up your arguments, you have to start talking in hypotheticals and what if Derrick Henry was there and what if he wasn't, because you don't have any factual data to fall back on.
I did want to do this exactly correctly, because the strength of schedule, it's actually very hard to have a high strength of schedule as a winning team. So the Ravens, the Browns had a harder schedule. Las Vegas had a harder schedule. You're going to see a common thread in this. The Giants had a harder schedule. The Green Bay and Chicago both had harder schedules. So Green Bay looks like they might be the highest of the playoff teams for strength of schedule. Arizona and San Francisco. But the point is that if you're a bad team, then you are playing a lot of the teams who have more wins, so you're more likely to be that. Strength of victory, though, is a different matter. And there it's very hard to have a good strength of victory if you don't have a good record overall. Buffalo's strength of victory is pretty good at 448, meaning the average winning percentage weighted for their wins is 4.48. The Ravens are 525. So their average team they beat had a better than a 500 record, which is incredibly rare and difficult to do. There's only one other team in the National Football League who did that this year. Yeah, and that was Cleveland with their 3 wins did it against teams with a combined 5-10 record. No other team in the NFL actually did it. And obviously it's not impressive to do it over the course of 3 wins, You really want to multiply together those two. And that's why strength of victory in terms of total wins by your opponents that you beat is a statistic actually used at NFL tiebreakers and is listed out there on the NFL standings site. Okay, don't want to go too far from this, but I want you to take us through your analysis now of the votes as a whole and how you see this falling right now.
Okay, so in the two main groups, the older and the younger group, the older group has 31 in it, and the younger group has 23 in it. Mm-hmm. And I tried to, like I said, go through and research as much as I could find online to see if I could find, as you can see, I have locks here. And that's people who have actually come out and said, essentially, I'm voting one way or the other. I have some question marks here for people I just couldn't find any much of any information on and went from there. So in the group of 32, in the end, or the overall group of 54, mm-hmm. Alan overall I got 23 leans at least. Alan Locks, I had 16 of where people, like I said, just came right out and said it or pretty much I'm going to vote for him.
Okay. Undecided. Just to be clear here for a second, the Alan Locks are a subset of the Allens?
Yes, Alan Locks okay. are a subset of
so
the
Allens. So you got 16 Alan Locks and 7 more Alan Likelies, we'll call it.
Correct.
Okay, let's go through the rest of this.
And then with Lamar, we have 9 total and 6 locks within that 9. And then 1 for Saquon, the guy from the Giants I mentioned. So, I mean, again, when I just kind of try to play a little psychological analysis here on a lot of these guys, I feel like a lot of the New York guys are going to be partial to Allen. A lot of them play in the same division. They see him. They're around him. Maybe it matters. Maybe it doesn't. But again, they're going to be the more traditional type voter, and there's 16 of those guys alone. And remember, you only need 26 votes to win here. It's not like we have a lot of guys voting, so all these votes matter. And I just feel like I just don't see how Lamar is going to make up the differences in the past relationships and the biases I'm seeing over this. And I would be happy if it was close in the end, but I really don't feel like it's going to be, unfortunately. I just feel like looking at these voting groups and blocks and their age and their history, I just feel like a lot more are going to kind of go for the Bills, Allen. And when you factor in the media coverage and that type of stuff and the narratives being pushed, I think it's going to push some leaners his way more than it's going to push leaners Lamar's way, especially okay. with the voter fatigue factored in and all that.
All right. Very impressive work, Paul. Really appreciate you coming on and talking through this. And it does look like a big difference. It almost feels like we're on election night and it's 52 to 49, but or sorry, it's be more like 50 to 48, let's say. And we're waiting on a certain percentage of votes and it's getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, we basically need all the undecideds to break for us. I think that's kind of how I can put it. We need a lot of the undecideds to break our way. And it's probably going to end up not happening, but I truly hope I'm wrong. But yeah, we need a lot of the undecideds to come over to our side.
All right. Would have certainly been a lot easier had he set the all-time passer rating mark, but it didn't happen. All right, Paul, really appreciate your effort on this. Tell folks where they can talk football with you if they want online.
At the NFL Analyst on Twitter. I'm there all the time. Just shout me out or holler at me.
All right. Really appreciate this. Other folks out there, thanks for listening. If you have interest in this type of content or would like to be on a film study short, hit me up with a DM via Twitter. And it's very quick to put together the show. And you can just tell Paul how much effort was this, not to put the stuff together, because I'm sure that was quite a bit of effort. But in terms of setting up being on the show, roughly how difficult was it?
No problem at all. 2 minutes.
Yep. All right. Great. So that's what I look to do on the show. Appreciate to have more folks like Paul come on and give their opinions, their thoughts on it, particularly on analytic content. Paul, thanks again for coming on.
No problem, Ken. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.